Welcome to episode 244 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Last week saw me heading off for another camping trip, once again taking the family as it was all in aid of my latest feature for Camping Magazine. All told, I came away with over 1,100 pictures and video clips, many of which potentially have their place in either the article itself or my behind-the-scenes coverage of the trip. In this week's show, then, I'm talking about the need to cover multiple bases when shooting feature pictures and what the most important considerations were for me on this particular occasion. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 244. It is just after 3:30 in the afternoon. And as I record this, I'm in my office once again. Now, I do feel a bit bad for giving you guys another office-based recording. I have been rushing around, and all will become clear if you're not aware. Even with this week, it's really, really busy, and it's just one of those weeks where actually I've got a lot of stuff to work my way through, and it's just one of those where I've just not been out on location, giving me the opportunity to record a location recording for you. So let me give you the sort of backstory to this week's show then. Many of you will know, if you follow my activities on Instagram or Twitter, you will know that I recently had a trip coming up to Dorset here in the UK. And that trip was a feature trip. It was 1 week spent seeing various sites in Dorset, and this was going to be the centre of an article that I'm writing for Camping Magazine. Now, as I record this, it is probably, I think, around about 3 weeks until the deadline for this feature. The feature itself is due to be published, let me just see, in the September edition of Camping Magazine here in the UK. And so today I just wanted to give you not necessarily a talk through each individual shot that I'm submitting, because I don't know yet which pictures I'm submitting, but I just want to give you a kind of an overall flavor of just the range of imagery that I've had to shoot for this feature. And of course, it's not all going to get used. There is the editing process, there is there are duplicates in there where some of the shots just aren't as good as others. There's something about the content that is better in one than another. But what I thought I'd do is just start off by telling you how many pictures I have. So I'm sat here. It sort of looks a little bit like kind of like a control desk. I've got my laptop here with the screen open. I've also got a secondary monitor, which is the one a lot of you will know. That's the one that I use when I'm editing pictures or previewing images. On that screen, I have Adobe Bridge, which is my choice of preview software when I'm coming to look through all the pictures. And in front of me, I have also on a little Manfrotto tripod. Now, which one's this? Is it the Pixie? I can't remember now. I will give you a link in the show notes. It's one that is on review, but my mind has gone blank as to what they call it. That has got my phone on it, and I've got various things like Evernote. Again, all the links to this sort of stuff is going to be in the show notes. I've got Evernote open there with a few notes. I've got my iPhone pictures all sort of on there. And in front of me, I also have good old-fashioned notebook. Now, a lot of you will know that as well as all the wonderful technology that we have at our disposal, I do still favour traditional means often. And I have these notebooks, which are nothing fancy. This one came from Sainsbury's, the supermarket. And I think it's an 80-page one. In fact, I can tell you because I bought a whole load of them because I think they're so nice. This one is, here we go, 192 pages, 80-gram paper. I've also got some others which were more recent because these ones are no longer made, which are also 80-gram paper, 320 pages. These things get chucked in my rucksack. They get biffed about. This one, the edges are all turned back. The first thing I wrote in here was actually when I did a walk for the Great Outdoors magazine, and it was pouring with rain, so the pages are all sort of, they're all wrinkly, and my writing is awful because I was trying to write in the rain, and the biro pen wasn't working all the time. And anyway, so in this notebook I have the notes that I made from whilst I was doing my trip. So the images that I have in the main folder that I have on a dedicated hard drive, an external hard drive, there are 1,135 pictures. And these were taken in the space of 1 week. And within that lot, there are the pictures which were shot. If you're shooting film, you would refer to it perhaps as A and B roll. So you've got the main pictures shot on my Nikon D800. And I will allude to my kit a little bit in a while. And I've also got in there various still pictures and video clips that I have shot on my iPhone using it as a notebook. Now, some of those pictures, most of them, they are either for pictures for myself, or they are pictures which are, because they're behind the scenes, they are to be used for my social media, the blog, all that sort of thing. So I can give you a prime example. The for this trip, it's the first trip that I am using a particular tent. It is a five-man tent made by Van Gogh. It's called the Illusion 500XL. And like I say, it's a test review item. Did very well. I won't say any more at the moment because it's early days, and that's for another time, another article, another blog piece, what have you. But the first pictures in this folder are of the box when it was delivered. I put it straight into the boot of my car, and it's just there in the boot of my car. Now, that is not a picture which, of course, is not going to be in the feature, but it's valuable to me because it forms... Oh, can you hear the birds outside? Oh, a bit of commotion. This is a picture which is useful for behind the scenes, for the review and all the rest of it. But the first useful picture, really useful picture, is to give a sense of the scale of the bag that this tent comes in. Like I say, it's a five-man tent, so a family tent. And it weighs, now let me see if I can remember, it's 43.7 kilos, I think. Let me check. Hang on. Yeah, 43.7 kilos was the weight on the box. and, you know, that takes up quite a lot of space. And so there's this first shot of it sort of jammed into the car because there's all the stuff we had to put in the car. And because of the weight of it, it's actually secured with two carabiners on a sling attached to one of the grab handles in the back of the car. But that, as I say, these shots are very important. I shoot so much behind the scenes stuff along the way. So it started even before the trip was underway. The first shots were when we arrived was, you know, the bag on, just on the grass, took stuff out, did a quick shot of some of the components, the pump, because it's an air beam tent rather than poles. A few detail shots, as one here showing how the pump, the tube goes into the valve and all that sort of thing. Like I said, I'm not going to go through all the pictures. Bear in mind, this was a family trip, okay? So there are pictures of my family here. Some of them will be used in the feature. A lot of you will know that I'm a very private person. I don't put certain pictures, family pictures, up on the internet, on Facebook, all that sort of thing. If they do appear in my features, it's very subtle. You know, sort of, it does, the pictures do what they need to, but it's not full on, here's my family in full glorious Technicolor. So the first shots, just looking at my notebook, the first shots that I took for the feature essentially were of in and around the village of Corf Castle, which I won't go into details, but it's a ruin of a castle up on a hill. Beautiful. I've never been there before, but we were so lucky. It was for the whole week, with the exception of the last day and night, the whole of the week was beautifully sunny, really hot, really too hot, if I'm honest. But because of the feature, you know, blue sky, punchy white clouds where there were clouds, just absolutely perfect for making the most of these attractions. So I said I was going to tell you a bit about the kit. It will come as no surprise to you that I was traveling light. So I had, obviously I had the phone camera, my iPhone camera. A lot of you will know that I have many times had pictures published that were simply taken on my iPhone. Nothing wrong with that. A lot of us in the industry, we do that because it's so convenient, and especially in good light, the quality of the images are so good when you consider how big they're going to be published and the paper stock, and if they're online, all this sort of thing. It's absolutely perfectly adequate. No one would ever tell the difference. But in terms of my DSLR setup, I had my D800 and I took two lenses. I took my 35mm f1.8, which a lot of you know I love, and I took my 24-25 macro. Now, something that occurred to me when, I think I may have mentioned this before, when I looked at the pictures from the last trip that I did, the lens, I think the quality is starting to drop off now, because it's quite an old lens and there's a bit of distortion to the outside, to the edges. I have to be very careful about that. I'm not writing it off. It's still fine. It's great for close up macro shots. So with this particular trip, especially as we went that much further, I wanted to be sure that I wasn't compromising the picture. So I took that lens, but pretty much everything was shot on my 35mm. But this is the difference this time around. Many of you know what I typically do is, because that is a DX format lens on an FX format camera, there is some very noticeable vignetting around the outside of the frame, especially at the smaller apertures like f11, f16, f22. And typically what I do is I shoot wide enough that I can crop the vignetting out, so it gives me a wider field of view, a wider aspect to begin with, and then I can just bear that in mind. The other option is to select the DX format crop, which of course means you lose some of your overall image to begin with. And I have never been a fan of that. I've said in the past, I'm going to be taking a look, hopefully quite soon, at the, what is it? I think it's a 20mm lens. I think it's a f1.8 as well, which should, in theory, fix the problem. It should satisfy the requirement for a wider lens and the need or not need to use a DX crop feature. It should still give me the perspective and everything that I need. But this is the difference on this trip. I mostly shot on the DX format cropping, just for convenience, because I wanted to see how I could work with the kit, maybe step a little bit further back so that I still got that angle of view, but then cut out the need to have to crop later, which of course you shouldn't have to. The technology and the settings are there that mean, you know, the kit is doing what it should do. So these first pictures were all shot. Let me have a look here. These are all shot on my D800 with the DX cropping in there. And when I was shooting, you know, we had a walk through the village of Corfe Castle. That's, although, that is the name of the village, named after the castle. So, you know, longer distance shots of the castle just to take in that longer view. Then we walked through the village, all very nice, and we headed to a model village, which is lovely. Great for little ones, great for adults as well. Makes you feel like a giant. It's perfect. A lot of those, because the initial shots, I wanted to get in the scale model of the castle, how it would have been. It's very strange. It's the model villages tend to be a model of, and what am I trying to say? They have a model of the model village. if that makes sense. I'm getting myself confused here. So, you know, just to get the scale, having little ones in the frame to kind of give scale there. Really good. So getting in wider shots that will need cropping, but it was quite, it wasn't a vast area, so that was sort of quite required. Detail shots are very important for features. You have your wider shots, you think, right, what's the main attraction, what's the thing people are expecting to see, but, you know, you need the filler shots, things that tell the story. I've talked about this a lot. It's a bit like in film, where you've got the overall, you might have a car, you know, tearing down a road, and then you get a cutaway shot showing close-up of the wheel spinning really, really fast. You know, it adds to the story, and in that case, it would be the drama and the tension and what have you. These were shot, a lot of the time, were sort of, you know, a typical head height shots, but you should always play around with your angles, go a bit lower, go a bit wider. If you are taking pictures of kids, it's always good to get down to their level, to see the world as they see it. You know, it's just something to bear in mind. Also, it makes your pictures much more interesting as a set, because you don't want them all to look samey, everything shot from the same angle and all that. Some filler shots for myself. I had a lovely fry up. I was just, you know, it was a working holiday, so my fitness, I actually did one workout whilst I was there, but we were doing so much walking like every day, that I let myself just eat pretty much what I wanted. I didn't worry about my nutrition in that sense, or getting lots of exercise in. Like I said, I did one workout, ate pretty healthy all the way through, but, you know, just if I wanted a fry up, if I wanted a chocolate bar or something, I didn't feel guilty, and, you know, get back to it when you return. But again, just, you know, just playing with framing the pictures here. That was an important thing. There's so much greenery. So hopefully already you're getting a sense of, you know, what I'm looking for. I'm looking to tell a story. So the premise behind this feature, it's a 6-page. Let me just double check. These ones tend to be 6 pages long. The previous one, The Weekend in West Sussex, I think I told you it was a two-page, but it was actually set to be a three-pager. This one is a 6-page feature. And so, you know, I needed to be sure I've got plenty of pictures. I will be supplying somewhere in the region of probably about 25 shots for this. And they'll probably use, I don't know, maybe 15, 20, something like that. So I've got my notebook here. And this is when I come to sit and write the feature. I've said this before, the pictures and the words, as I write the words or as I plan the feature out with post-it notes or what have you, they kind of bounce off one another. So, you know, the pictures influence the words I'm putting down, and the words, obviously, if I'm trying to describe something, I want to double check to make sure I've got the right shot to go with it. So we had a look at the church, and this, you know, nice standard shot in the church, nothing particularly, you know, striking. It was worth taking whilst I was there, but it's not the sort of picture probably that I'm going to use. The model castle, it was great. There's, you know, sort of there's a little fairy like enchanted garden which we walked through. It was lovely, and it, yeah, there's sort of drawings on the trees and that sort of thing. That was another thing. There was a small museum there that told you about a chap called Jack Phillips, who was the man who built Corfe Castle Model Village. And so I went into this very small kind of shed museum, took some overall shots of, there's like a biography sheet about him and some postcards and photos that showed how it was. And then after that, like I say, lovely bright blue sky showing the village, really nice, essentially picture postcard shot of Corfe Castle village. So that might well end up in the mix. But then, you know, we're back to the tent, and there was some shadows falling from, we had a washing line with some clothes that needed drying. The site had some really good facilities. I will give you a shout out to them. It's Norden Farm Campsite. If you just look up Norden Farm, Norden, in Dorset, you know, it was a lovely site. Can't recommend them highly enough. But, you know, we used their laundry facilities on occasion, but, you know, it was a lovely sunny day. We hung stuff up. So you get these really nice little abstracts, mainly shot just for Instagram and that sort of thing. Detail shots. There we go. So the mini tripod that I was telling you about just now, it's got my phone, I took that with me for the first time to use. And what I typically do with test review items is I'll take pictures before they get used. And it doesn't matter whether it's a small tripod or a torch or whether it's a tent, the scale of this one, I always try to take pictures before they get used. So there are a few shots here taken on that 24 to 85 mil lens that I was telling you about because of the macro settings. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shots just showing the thing set up, the legs that extends, the ball head on it, the feet that are on the end, the grippy feet on the bottom of the legs. No camera on there. It was just literally that. So once I'd had those, I was happy to go ahead and use it. Some more family shots, some more like sort of self-portrait stuff. Overall shots of the campsites showing our tent and what the site looked like with the lovely line of trees behind it. I mentioned before about framing pictures with foliage and angles and that sort of thing. When you are trying to photograph an attraction or a place or a subject or product that has been photographed many, many times in all weathers, in all seasons, in every conceivable format, you want to try to find some different way to photograph it. And as we're just about to walk through, we'd walk through the entrance and on the sort of the path up to the remains of Corfe Castle, there was a natural frame in an archway, big stone archway, and it was lovely. Bit of a shame they had a visitor kind of like tent thing. It was a quite subtle green tent off to one side, sort of British racing green, I suppose you'd call it. That sort of, I couldn't get around that, but that might be an option. Again, there are people, strangers, walking up the path towards the castle. Now, I've mentioned this plenty of times before, but really, if you're going to feature someone, you really want to get a model release form signed so that they say, yes, I'm happy for you to use the pictures, and this is whatever compensation I've had, whether it's money or you get to send them a picture or whatever. Way to get around that, of course, is either wait till the people get out of the shot, which is not always great because you want to give a sense of scale, or you do as I did here, wait until they're all facing the opposite direction. It shows that they're walking along, and got those shots. So it's a real mix between wider angle shots. There's a group of 1, 2, 3, 4 people sat on a bench having a coffee, looking out over the village of Corf Castle, which is really nice. Detail shot of the Corf Castle quest, which is a challenge for kids to and their families to, you know, try and find the clues or something like that. Sort of observe things as they walk around. Just views from the top of the castle. There's a steam railway, which we went on later in the week. What else? Shots of the kit that I was using. You will have seen that on Instagram, a blue low alpine rucksack. Just a bit of feedback on that. A lot of people ask me what kit I use, what bags I'd recommend. Usually, when it comes to standard rucksacks, I tend to favour Vango. You know that I work with Vango for test review stuff. But because I think it's because of my frame, my body shape and size and what have you, I find that their packs, the straps, everything fit really nicely. I don't get any sore points. It's just, works very well. I also find that their bags are not over-engineered. That is to say, they don't have too many bells, whistles, buckles, zips, pulls, tags, all that stuff, which just is completely unnecessary when you're trying to just, in poor weather or in a hurry, access your kit. On this occasion, though, I used a low alpine rucksack. And if I can remember, let's see, and I will link to this if possible. It's the Air Zone Pro 4555. So it's a 45-litre pack, which then has the option to expand up to 55 litres. That was just a day sack. It had all the stuff that my family was going to need. Few cheeky self-portraits. Me with Corf Castle in the background. That's yet to go on to Instagram. Probably going to post that. I'm going to be posting this week a load of these pictures. At the moment, I'm looking out my window and it's grey and wet and it's just very uninspiring today. Complete contrast. So it's nice to kind of do a bit of a throwback. I'm going to skip forward here. Farmyard animals, all that sort of thing. Took a picture just on my iPhone. Just a very quick, very subtle shot whilst I was walking around the very well stocked shop or farm shop at the campsite, just to show that there are really good facilities. You've got the tins of food and breakfast cereals and camping accessories, like if you should need more plates or water bottles or a kettle or extension cables, all this sort of thing. A few detail shots. What else? Then we went to, there's a picture of a local fish and chip shop, which I didn't know it at the time, but I got this lovely shot of this chippy, and we ended up using them later in the week, I think around about the Friday, because we usually try to have a takeaway, fish and chips usually, wherever we go one evening on our camping trips. Saves the need to cook, as much as I love doing the cooking and all that sort of thing. So there's a couple of angles. There's very much sort of front on, the traffic is all there, but then there's also the other one I took a view of the kind of the the seafront right by it, but you don't actually see the fish and chip shop. So it's lucky, actually, that I did do the exterior shot. And then this is the point. Oh, excuse me, yawning. I had a very broken sleep last night. If I do choose to make mention of the fish and chip shop, again, going through my notebook, pulling out the information that's important, then I've got a reference there. Now I'm just looking here and I found one picture which actually doesn't belong there, so I'm going to get rid of that. Like I say, there are a mix of pictures, iPhone and my Nikons, and some of the pictures I take are not relevant to the feature at all. That was just an infographic to do with statistics or something. Pictures of the beach, lovely. Oh, it's a really nice shot here behind the scenes of the view from my camera. And I did a couple of similar sort of shots here. I will be sharing this sort of latterly. Lovely shot of boats on the horizon. Family shots again. If you are aware of what an item of clothing is called a buff, you'll know that they are very handy. It's basically a tube of material that goes around your neck to keep the sun off your neck, or to grab sweat if you're getting hot, or to stop in the winter. You can use it to stop drafts if it's a cold day, sort of around your neck. They do all sorts of different ones, everything from merino wool to merino wool to fleece and all this sort of thing. Anyway, the sun was getting so hot that I decided to buy one whilst I was there. So there's some shots of me with my, I must say, rather fetching straw hat and buff around my neck. But again, this is all kind of Instagram stuff. So what you can see what I'm doing is kind of, you know, killing two birds with one stone, or several birds with one stone, you know, making sure I've got the main attraction shots. So there's a shot here. Durdledore, Dorset, you know, natural rock formation archway down by the water, the beach there, lovely shots from the cliff top. I didn't need to go right down onto the beach. I've got people in the foreground, got long sweeping shots. That was, you know, a real mix of shots. There's a self-portrait. So I think I'm going to leave it there. There's, you know, I could go on and on saying, oh, well, here's a detailed shot of, you know, sort of the bottle of wine that we enjoyed one evening. There's the steam railway and, you know, all this sort of... Oh, another email. There's all this, you know, detail shots and overview, you know, going and having a look at the donkeys in the field, which are at the farm, the fishing lake, all this. But hopefully you can see that what I have to consider is some action shots, some static shots, the key attractions, what people are going to expect to see, what, you know, what the, if you're doing like, this is the Camping Magazine's big holiday feature. It's a 6-pager about a particular area. This one is, Dorset and why you should visit Dorset and why it's great for family camping. So I have to take all these things into consideration. I think I'm going to leave it there. I could go on and on and on. Of course, you can always ask me if you've got any questions. As it is, we're just over half an hour, so I don't want to drag this out. It always needs to be around about half an hour for you guys, so it's nice and relatively quick to listen to. You can fit it into your lunch break or your evening or your morning commute or whatever it might be, however you listen. So I'm going to leave it there. Like I said, I hope you found that useful. Just another sort of quick insight. 1,134 images going to be edited down. The images are going to be used on social media, on blog, in the main feature. This is what I have to consider. This is what I have to shoot on all of these trips, whether it's an overnighter or just a day walk or a week-long big family camping trip. So, there we go. If you have any questions, of course, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. With all the follow-ups of my recent trip out of the way, all being well, next week's podcast will once again feature an on-location recording. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.